Amen, because I'm already nervous. Hey, that's right. If y'all was looking at what I was looking at, you'd be nervous too. Amen. Amen. Listen to me. I don't have a DVD presentation. We're working on that. But listen to me. I just like to pour my heart out and just tell you what's going on with us. Let me get my Bible ready. Oh, there's our prayer cards if any of you want one with our scripture on it. And I'm going to go ahead and turn my Bible and open up to the night. Lord was dealing. And I got with the Lord the other day about 3 a.m. That's when it happens for me.
That's all right.
I want to preach tonight. So I just wrote some things down that he gave me some thoughts because I've never presented this message like this. But first of all, let me introduce my family. Like I said, I'm nervous. That's my dear wife, Crystal, back there, my oldest, Courtney, my youngest, Charlie. And we are on deputation with Rock of Ages Ministries. I'm not going to go into detail about the history of Rock of Ages because you've already got one. Just tell you what we do, how it all came about. Well, first of all, I got saved October 28, 1995, and I hadn't got over it yet, brother. And that was 10 days after a 10th class reunion I went to. A little soul winner wanted me to Jesus, hallelujah, and she's already in glory. Praise God for that. Not that she left out, but that she left out and went home to glory. I enjoyed the youth back here, folks. In fact, that don't crank your tractor. Hey, man, you ain't right with God. But we went in. Courtney went to prison first. Brother Key got her going into prison. And I've drove a tractor trailer for a living for many years, and that's going to end next Friday. So y'all pray for us. And my wife and Miss Key got connected, and Miss Key asked my wife if I'd go to prison with Brother Larry. And she answered for me. She says, yeah, he'd go. And I said, well, and then when she brought it up, I mean, you know, I know we're supposed to pray about everything and such, but, you know, God called me to preach his word, and it's not just to you, it's to whoever, whosoever. So yeah, I said, sure, I'll go. So Brother Key asked me to go on March of that year, 2016, and I told him I'd already bid my vacation that close to Easter, I'd stand a better chance in November. I did pray about that. And sure enough, God was all in it, brother, because March of that year, they got washed out for prison riots. So we got to go in November. All right. So here we go in the prison, hallelujah. And it just broke my heart, folks, seeing those children in there. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. That's the verse God gave me to go in there for the juveniles. Okay? The first time we went in, they were, I believe it was 18 to 26 years old, and then down there at Polk, and it just broke my heart. I didn't, you know, I know they're in there for crimes, but I want to tell you something, folks. The ones I've been to, I've been to a few prisons now, all the children that I have individually won to Christ, one-on-one and got to talk to, the problem was there's no daddy at home. The daddies are either dead, they're in prison themselves, or they don't know who they are, or they just don't care. So folks, right there's the problem right there. I believe the biggest problem in this nation started probably 40, 50, 60 years ago is when those daddies quit training their children up in the ways of the Lord. And it just went one generation. And some of them children we got to deal with, their moms and dads were drug addicts and using them to commit their crimes to pay for their habits. And there they are in prison. And a lot of times in those prisons, many of the children you go talk to, they're already saved. But when you ask them, it's false professions. I got baptized. I said, bro, I said, young man, you can get baptized with tadpoles, know your social security number, and you'll bust hell wide open. And you take the word of God and show them how to be saved, and then they get Jesus, and it just fires you up. And then another one, there's a false profession. Hey, read this. Hey, you're all right. That's a lot of folks. And we're fighting all kinds of denominations in there. Right. You got the Jehovah's. You got the Seventh-dayers. You got Islam's a big one. Hey, man, hadn't won one of them yet. Their main belief is they got a good angel writing down their good deeds and a bad angel writing down their bad. Well, that's rough right there. Hey, man. I said, boy, that's playing Russian roulette with your soul. Hallelujah. But I want to tell you what, though. We go to cell-to-cell visitation. We go out into the population. But I want to tell you something. That cell-to-cell, you got a steel door. But I want to tell you something. I watched the Holy Spirit break right through that steel door on many of them. Watch tears start flowing. And they just look at you and say, I want saved. I want him. But how do I get him? Just take them to the Word of God. That's all that ever works. Amen. Just take them to the Word of God. Amen. Not technology, not dance programs, not rock music. Just give them Jesus. Just give them the Word of God. Amen. And he just rendered my heart for the children. Amen. And that's what we've been doing for the children. He moved on my heart. We went through the missionary training in September of last year. We've been on deputation ever since, folks. So pray for us. Pray for our support that comes in. We're trying to do the ministry and deputation. And I'm going to do that as much as I can. And pray for the Shue family because we need it. Hey, man. It's rough out there. And when you put your keys in your ignition, pray for the Key family. I want to bring him up. They're in Florida right now trying to win those young men to Jesus. Hey, man. Because, and I mean, don't get me wrong. I want to witness and win people everywhere I go. That's been my desire. Before God called me to preach in October 28, 1995, the moment I got saved, I went to all of my ungodly friends that I'd run with for years. I told them, Brother Martin, I said, I got saved.
Amen.
I'm not going to hell anymore. You need what I got. I said, or you're going to hell. That's all I knew because I didn't know anything about the Bible. I was 28 years old, but I knew something happened to me. I want to tell you something, folks. When something big as Jesus moves inside of you, hey, you can't help it. You're going to tell somebody. Hey, man, I always got a problem with somebody that don't tell them they love Jesus. Hey, man, I always got a problem when you start talking about the Lord and they want to walk away and then claim they're saved. Oh, my. And those friends of mine, 9 months I was left there. I worked in a duct tape plant. Three's in hell right now unless they got the same thing the thief on the cross got. Hey, I spent 9 months learning the Word of God and trying to win them, folks. I didn't give up on them, but God had other things for me. You know, I'll tell you about Jesus, and I'll tell you, but if you ain't going to listen, I'm going to go tell him or her. Amen. Amen. But that's what we do there. We're a deputation with Rock of Ages Ministries, and we're just going to mind God. Amen. Amen. So he's going to split that eastern sky one day, and I won't be about Amen. The business for him. Amen. But, if you got any more questions, I'll answer them. I know I'm probably all over the place because I'm nervous. But listen to me. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 20. When you said Matthew chapter 20 tonight, brother, I said, oh my. Oh my. But listen to me. All kidding aside, you pray for all the missionaries on fire in the move for God. And I appreciate churches like this that's on fire in the move for God. And we have had three deputations of ministry too. They told us in the training, some of them dread it and all, but I don't. It's rough, the travel and all. But I've met brothers and sisters of Christ that I wouldn't have seen until I got home to glory. I've seen churches on fire in the move for God because I thought ours and yours was the only one, but there's more out there. Amen. And we've had three people to get saved on deputation. Amen. Hey, there's still lost people in the church house. Some of them may have had false professions. And by the way, God trained me. He gave me training. I'm not bragging or nothing, but I'll tell you about me, okay? He saved me. Okay, he got me in a good godly church. Got me in a good godly wife and good godly family. It's all him.
Amen.
Then he called me to preach the Word of God. And I preached in nursing homes and hospitals, wherever God wanted me to preach. Amen. Started driving the church bus for the Lord. Amen. There's children in our church now that grew up. Their moms and dads still ain't coming, but they're saved, sealed, and sanctified. Why? Because of the bus ministry. Hey, I hope their dads and moms get in, but if they go to hell, those kids ain't. Amen. That's right. That bus ministry works, folks. That's when our church took off and exploded because we started getting concerned for them souls. Amen. Those kids can't drive themselves if the parents don't take them. So the bus ministry, then the Good News Club, it helped me learn how to witness the children and win them to Jesus. Amen. So I'm not bragging about me. I'm just telling you a little bit about me so you know that I'm not just in this just off a whim. Amen. You think I'd give up my job, my career, if God wasn't in this? Absolutely not. Amen. There's three reasons back there. Amen. Amen. All right. Let's preach the Word of God. We're in chapter 20 of Matthew. Parable of the Vineyard. I'm going to read down these verses. Then I'm going to just give you how God wanted me to present it. Amen. For the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said unto them, go ye also to the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth hour, the ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when evening was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto the steward, call the laborers, and give them their hire, beginning from the last until the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and then the first last, for many be called, but few chosen. Brother Mark, pray for us.
Our Heavenly Father,
oh God, help me, Lord. Lord, what the Lord showed me in this was four things I see in this parable. Saving, serving, separation, and selling out. That's what he showed me. There's other ways. Some people present this as a pastor coming out of field of ministry looking for laborers, and that's all right. This is how the Lord dealt with me on it. Right here, we got the 6, 9, 12 p.m. crowd, the 3 p.m. and 5 p.m. crowd in Jewish time. Amen. The Jewish time was divided into 12 parts. They started their work day at 6 a.m., ended at 6 p.m. They got paid at the end of the day. Amen. But what I see from this right here is people get saved at different ages, folks. Everybody don't get Jesus the same time. Amen. Sometimes it's because they don't hear the gospel till they're up in years. Sometimes it's because they run from God, and run from God still run to them. Amen. Everybody don't get Jesus at the same hour, age. Amen. I got the 6 a.m. crowds of children, the 9 a.m., the teens, the 12, the young adults, amen, the 3 p.m., the middle-aged, and the 5 p.m., the elderly, amen. Listen to me. We had a 91-year-old World War II vet in the Columbia prison, South Carolina prison, get saved. 91 years old, folks. That's right. And God still got something for him. He can still win somebody to Jesus, amen. Get that soul winner's crown. That's right. Hey, folks, listen to me. It's our, as a Christian, it's up to us to tell them.
Amen.
See, I go in the prisons and you don't, and that's fine. But he's got something for you too.
Right.
We're supposed to reproduce ourselves. Bear that good fruit. That 91-year-old World War II vet, I thank God for that, brother. Right. He's saved. He's going home to glory. Amen. I see the older people, they become comfortable in the more and longer they're in this world. In the Good News Club, they said that salvation goes down dramatically when they pass the fifth grade. Boy, that's sad, ain't it? That's this old tug of this old world, and that's old Satan doing his business, folk. He wants them children, amen. But I'm going to go in there and tell them children, and I'm going to win them to Jesus, amen. So you see, in the first part of that parable right there, people get saved at different ages. Let me tell you something. And God can still use them at different ages. We had a 57-year-old man that led a biker lifestyle. Him and his wife, 57 years old before he got saved. He got in that church bus, started bringing children to church.
Amen.
God called him to preach at 62. At 68 years old, he preached down there at the prison I was at. 8 people got saved.
Amen.
You say, well, my goodness. Hey, Moses was 84. He just started getting used by God. Amen. It doesn't matter how old you are. It's just if you're going to be willing. Amen. Just if you're going to be willing. Amen. I got the older people come before they get Jesus, the more hard in their heart becomes. Amen. But they can still be saved. We had a 76-year-old woman in a nursing home get saved. She looked at me with tears, and I asked her if she died, where did she go? She said, I'd go straight to hell. I said, you're not saved. But she got saved. We went and seen her. We went and seen her there Christmas Eve. Amen. So, hands all riddled up, but still praising God. Amen. Oh, she got saved, folks. I love seeing people getting saved. It never grows old.
Amen.
Testimonies, folks, they never grow old. I love to hear them. I love to watch people get saved. I love to watch those eyes get transformed. Hey, man, you say, hey, does everybody get it? Well, hey, I don't know. But like I said, when he moves in, things happen. Hey, man, you can't hide them. There's some people that's made professions that I've had a privilege to. I wonder about, boy, there's some of them that's without a doubt. Hey, man. So this parable right here to start out about salvation. No matter how old you are when you get saved, you get as much salvation as everybody else.
Amen.
You get as much heaven as everybody else.
Right.
Amen. That's right. That's right. Ah, help me. Praise God. All right. After you get that saving grace, though, and I know a lot of times people get saved and you don't think they're ever going to get on fire to move for God. They might sit on that church pew 20 years and never move or wave a hand or shout. But let me tell you something. That's not Bible. Hey, you get serving grace, folks. Now, don't get me wrong. It's by grace are you saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a gift of God. I probably got that mixed up. That's all right. You know what I'm talking about. Salvation's free. You're going home to heaven when you get Jesus. No ifs, ands, and buts about it. The thief on the cross. Lord, remember me. Three words, and he's in glory. Amen. That's right. But listen to me. According to... Now, I wrote these scriptures out, so you won't have to turn to them. If you want to, go ahead. Hebrews 12:28, wherefore we receive the kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace, whereby we may what? Serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Are you hearing me? And I look at it like this, Brother Mark. The 6 a.m. prayer crowd right there, they bargained with the Lord on that parable. Hey, what am I going to get for doing something for you? Hey, man. Hey. And we got that crowd today. I hope they're truly saved, but they won't be seen of men. They want their glory in the here and now. They want to be noticed now. And that's them, but that's not me. Hey, man, I want people to get the Lord. And I know in Rock of Ages, we got to keep an account and stuff. There's been 700,000 souls saved since 1977 through that ministry. I never keep numbers, but I have to for them. Hey, man, I just want people to get it and get in. Hey, man, that way in heaven one day, I'll see them again. But the 6 a.m. crowd, I got, they bargained. They want in the limelight now. They want recognition by men now. That penny they wanted, it's not a penny like we got. That's a Roman denarius, and it was a soldier's wage day. It was good money back then. Hey, man, but listen to me. The 3rd, 6th, 9th, and 11th hour crowd, they represent the Christian growth in our life. Amen. We all don't grow at the same level, folks. And it's how we love Jesus. How we grow in him. Amen. If you have the desire to grow in him and get closer to him, that's what I see right there. Amen. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Hey, listen to you. None of us are ever going to get to the point I've arrived. Amen. This Christian life is all a growing process. There may be some of you out there still God's going to call you to preach, missionaries, whatever, missionary wives. Amen. Listen to me. Most of this old world's lost and going to that awful place called hell.
Yes, sir.
But there's going to be a tally one day. I believe a lot of you in here are soul winners. Listen, I did find this statistic out. If every single individual Christian would win one person a year, in 33 years, 8.5 billion people would be saved. I'm no mathematician, and Pastor Donnie come up with that. So if it's false, you get on to him. But listen to me. I love my pastor. Hey, man, I love men of God. Brother Mark, I love you. Hey, man. But listen to me. Christian life, I don't went over the cross. How much we love Jesus determines. And listen to me. Things are going to affect your Christian growth. The church you go to. I deal with so much false doctrine people. I battle the church of God at work. They believe that... Unless you get baptized, you're going to hell. It don't matter if you got Jesus or not, but if you don't take that dip at the baptistry, that's right. They use Mark 16:15. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And I say, listen to me. Because I won a man to the Lord years ago. He didn't get baptized because of health reasons, but he got Jesus. He had the fruits for 9 months, brother. His old ungodly friends would come by the house. They had to leave everything outside, and he told them exactly what they needed. They needed what he had. Did he get baptized? No, but he got baptized by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
That's what you better hope you get.
Yes,
but
sir.
They don't look at the key of that verse. He that believeth not shall be damned. I say faith, buddy. Faith's
Amen.
What gets you in. Faith's what gets you saved. Hey, man, faith in Jesus.
Yes,
hallelujah. And it's all over the place. You got the Jehovah Witnesses. I want to win them to Jesus. Most of the Baptists I deal with don't want to talk to them. You know why? They don't know anything about their Bible.
Right.
Back there is my witness. My wife has, every time they come by, I talk to them. I start out, I say, I'll listen to you if you give me a few minutes. If they don't, then they can go on. I want those Jehovah's to get what I got. Hey, man. That's right. We need to talk to them. You need to know enough about what you have inside of you that you can talk to them. It blows my mind how many people in these denominations know their stuff. That's right. He said it. I did, but he's right. It was coming. Amen. Let's see what I got. Yeah. Okay. Who your pastor is going to affect your spiritual growth if he's telling it right. This Bible. You just told me about that. A woman that's a deacon. That's not Bible, folks. That's the problem with all these churches. They're compromising God's word. Amen. They drop their dress. They drop their music standard. And the next thing that goes is the King James Bible.
Oh.
Hey, that's right. The devil's all in that. Amen. If a church will line up with the word of God, it may run some people off. But people that's here is going to stay. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen to me. Your Sunday school teacher is going to affect your growth, how they are. Boy, I thank God I had a good one when I got saved. I'll tell on myself a little bit. When I got saved, folks, I had a big, pretty diamond right here I wore. It's bigger than one I got my wife. Hey, and I appreciate it. I appreciate them. And they knew I just got saved. You know how you was talking in there? They let the Holy Ghost do the convicting and work with me. See, my Sunday school teacher knew I was in the Word of God and trying to learn and everything. And it was about 3 months I got over there. That right there belongs to the women. And you know what I done? I took it out of my ear. I didn't have to ask my pastor, ask nobody. Holy Ghost told me that wasn't right. I took it out of my ear and tossed it in the trash can. Amen. If I had to do it over now, I'd have got it put in the watch. Hey, that wasn't cheap, brother. That wasn't cheap. But I'm saying, you know, when people get saved and come in here, folks, and they get it, just because they don't look like it right now, give them time. Amen. Let God clean them up. I mean, if they come up to you and ask you and say, brother, hey, is it all right if I go down here and get a tattoo? I'm really wanting one. What would you say? And you'd show in the Bible, wouldn't you? But you'd do it in love, wouldn't you? Amen. That's right. Hey, people grow at different rates, folks.
Amen.
But listen to me. This is what the Lord really dealt on me on. It's a lot of scripture, and I hope you don't get mad at me. But maybe it's because there's so many young people here, and I'm not picking on you young people. You've got it rougher out here in the world than I had in my day. Let me drink this. And I wrote all these scriptures down. I spent the time praying about them. And I'm going to give it to you because I believe it's somebody here tonight. Okay. Separation. That's what I see in this parable here, brother. Separation. Okay, and scripture I'm going to back it up with. I'm going to give a few points here. When you get saved, children, adults, we're supposed to separate from the world.
Yes.
I know we got to be in it, but we're not of it.
Right.
Amen. Amen. That means people ought to be able to tell that you're different than they are. They shouldn't have to ask you. They should be able to see it. Amen. All right, listen to me. Someone teaching false doctrine or practicing false doctrine or false practice, it's our duty as Christians to avoid it. Hey, man, I'm going to give you scripture to back it up. Romans 16:17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them.
Right.
In other words, don't stay yoked up with them. Hey, man, don't let their stuff rub off on you. You should be rubbing off on them. Hallelujah. Shun them. Hey, man, a shun means to keep away. You know, I'll go out there in front of the bar and try to win on Jesus, but I'm not going to go in there.
Come on.
I'm not going to burn my testimony up. Hey, man, shun. 2 Timothy 2:16, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase in the more ungodliness. Hey, man, we need to avoid that stuff. Need to avoid that. Yeah, we need to win on Jesus. Hey, man, but we don't need to Just like you lay with dogs, you're going to get fleas. You don't get that close to them. Hey, man. Hey, I thought one off the top of my head just come to me. Over there in 5 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Avoid. No. Let's see. How's it go? Just left me. Amen. Okay. Purge oneself from. 2 Timothy 2:21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Purge means to cleanse, folks. Hey, man, when you got saved, sealed, and sanctified, justified, justified by the blood. Hey, man, listen to me. Don't. You've got to make a difference in this world. The lost people's got to see that you're different to have what you want. You know, it breaks my heart to hear somebody say, if I was like all that, the woods would be full of them. Amen. I know many people that burnt their testimonies up and never tried to make anything better of it. Breaks my heart. You know, it breaks God's heart. We're supposed to be different, folks. We're supposed to be separated. And I know we got kids in here in the public school system, but you can still live for Jesus. Amen. You can still read that Bible. Amen. Listen to me. Come out from among. 2 Corinthians 6:17. Wherefore come out from among them and be you separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Amen. If you want the Holy Spirit working in life, you've got to do this stuff. Because if you don't, you're going to quench them. To quench the Holy Spirit, quench not the Spirit. So there in Thessalonians, means to dampen, means to put that flame out. When you got saved, folks, all of God moved inside of you, all the way from your head down to your toes. Amen. And He'll glow inside of you, and He'll glow in front of others if you'll let Him. If you'll live for Him, if you'll keep that separation. Amen. Have no fellowship or communion with. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Amen. And that goes for marriage. That goes for denominations too. Hey, man. That's right. Hey, we're limited in Rock of Ages, Independent Baptist. I can go to a Baptist church as long as they hadn't went south, as long as they hadn't changed their doctrine, as long as there's not a woman up there preaching. You know, you see what I'm saying? It's sad to be limited in the Bible Belt. Oh, my. Practice this step. Say, listen to me. Why the separation? This is what I got. It shows obedience to God, number one. Honoring the Christ, number two. Pleasing the Christ. Separation shows our love for Christ. Hey, He said over in John, if you love me, keep my commandments. Amen. How many out here is keeping His commandments? Hey, listen to me. It's a way of protection for us. Amen. Just like I said, I'll go to outside the bar. But boy, I've heard many a story. I heard of a boy down in Statesville, lived in Statesville. It was one of them gay bars in Florida that got killed a while back. That's sad. That's sad, boy. I tell you what. The next one I have selling out for Jesus. Amen. Listen to me. That's verse 3, 4, and 7. Look at them there. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said unto them, go ye also in the vineyard, and whatever soever is right, I will give. Verse 7, listen, they say unto him, because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, go ye also in the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall you receive. Listen to me. Let's see, what did I put? That's right here. Listen to me. This is North Wilkesboro talk. I got to get away from that outline, just preach a little bit. They come to the vineyard, the steward there, and said, what you doing, boys? Why ain't you doing nothing? I used to think that was lazy Christians, but when I studied that out, because no man's hired us, we don't know what to do. Amen. And there's nothing wrong with that, folks. When you get saved, God don't always show you His will right away. He's got a training process too. Hey, man, He wants you to grow in Him. He wants to see what you got. That's right. He wants to see who you are. And if you're going to live for Him, you know, these people that get saved and never live for Him, right? I don't see them doing much for Him. It's sad. He saved you. He died for your sin debt. He suffered it all. Hey, listen to me. But what I see right there, that Lord, He says, just go. The fields are white. Just go. What that to me says, just go get involved in something. Amen. If God's not in it, you're going to know it. His Spirit lives inside of you. Right. You come see this man, he may have something for you. And you go to him a month later, say, I don't believe the Lord's in this. I'm not happy. Well, he might use that to get you into what you need to be in. That's what he's done for me many a time. Hey, man, listen to me. If the problem's the will of God, he's got a plan, a place, and a purpose for you. Everybody in here, a plan, place, or purpose in God's kingdom. Hey, man. Man's part in God's will. I put this down. Be sure of your salvation. Not an emotional experience. I'm not trying to get you to doubt, but like I said a couple times in here, if he's in there, you know it. Right. Hey, man. Be sure of it. And if he's not, come down and see this man right now, and I'll keep preaching. Be separated from all known sin. If you regard iniquity in your heart, he will not hear your prayer. That's Bible, folks. Listen to me. Be saturated with the scriptures. Read, study. Hey, man. Be sincere in asking. If you don't know the will of God, don't ask. Believe you me, because when I ask, he sent me to prison. Hey, man. Hey, I love him. I'll serve him wherever. I'll go to the South Pole where it's 200 below zero, brother, to win somebody if that's what he wants me to do. Be surrendered to the Spirit. You've got to be surrendered to the Spirit. Look, for him to work in your life, for him to show you things. Hey, man. It's between you and him. You can, if you walked up to me a year ago and said, you're going to be a Rock of Ages missionary, you're dumb as a box of rocks. But hey, with God, I'm not going to say that to him. Hey, man, he knows what he's doing. But listen to me, folks. I know I've went all over the place. Let me wipe this sweat off. Let me just tell you what this parable means. In Bible theology, okay? I'm not no doctor and all, but I like to study and read and learn God's word, and I'll ask pastors. I'm not sure of everything all the time, but I love it when the Lord Holy Spirit shows me what it means. Hey, man, I love it when he lets me know to go here, and I'll have an answer. All right, this parable is about the millennial reign of Christ, and the 27th verse of the 19th chapter, and I'm paraphrasing because I'm down here. Peter asked Jesus, what are we going to get for following you? That's why Jesus gave this parable. And there's nothing wrong with that. He's letting know we've left all for you. What's in it for us? Amen. Anytime in Bible theology, anytime it's talking about the kingdom of heaven, it's talking about the millennial reign of Christ. 1,000 years. I look forward to that, brother. Let me tell you something, people. Boy, I'm getting wired up now. The next thing to happen in God's timeline is the rapture of the church. Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the moment in the twinkle of an eye. Listen to me. Over in Romans 11:25, at the end of that verse, it says, until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. The moment that last person gets saved, and it might be you tonight, brother, hey, we're out of here. That's right. That's Bible. Then there's going to be a 7-year tribulation, and it's going to be hell on earth. If you leave out tonight, if you don't know Jesus and it happens, hey, God have mercy on your souls, all I can say. Listen to me. During that time of the tribulation, brother, and I can't back this up with the Bible, nobody else can either, but we've got to go through the judgment seat of Christ before we return with Christ for this millennial reign. I believe that's going to be during the tribulation. We're going to be judged for how we serve the Lord now. And if you've done what you ought to, there's going to be gold and gems, precious gems and silver, and it's not going to burn up. In other words, you're going to have a reward. And this is going to decide what happens during that millennial reign of Christ. He's going to have things for us to do. Amen? You correct me if I'm wrong. You've been in this longer than I have. All right? Now, the ones that really didn't want to do nothing for the Lord because they just didn't want to, wood, hay, and stubble. Oh, their soul's going to be saved, but they're going to smell like smoke for a long time. Amen? Now, in the 19th chapter of Revelation, we're at the marriage supper of the Lamb before we come for that millennial 1,000 years. I believe there'll be an Nanner Pudding there too. I love Nanner Pudding. Hey, man, I've been praying it'll be there. But listen to me, folks. It's going to happen. In this millennial reign, when it's done, see, there'll be children born during this time, and they're not going to grow up like us and have a chance to say yes to Jesus or no. So Satan's going to be loose for a little bit. There's some going to turn to him. Jesus is going to put it down. Hallelujah. And then the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God's going to merge together after the great white throne forever. The kingdom of heaven is going to become the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God happens when you get saved. John 3, verse 3 and 5. That's when the kingdom of God moves inside of you. That spirit forever. If I spit on you, I'm sorry. You forgive me. But folks, what I'm getting to tonight, if there's somebody here lost, let's go over here to Matthew chapter 7. And brother, give me about 10 minutes and I'll be done. Listen to me. Up here, you got in first 13, enter ye in at straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way to lead to destruction, and many there be which go in threat. That's the lost, folks, and it's full. It's not just the drunkards and the harlots and the murderers and all that. It's the good moral people. It's the people that say, hey, I'll get there my own way. It's the people wanting to go by Oprah Winfrey's way. Didn't she say there's many ways to God? Hey, if you vote for her for president, you ain't right with God either. Listen to me. I heard a preacher one time, and I disagree with him. He said he believed there'd be more people in heaven than hell, but not according to these verses of Scripture. There's going to be more people in hell than heaven. But listen to me. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. That's the saved. It's narrow because it's one person at a time. If I could go in that prison, brother, and pray, and everybody in there received Jesus, I'd go to every one of them, and they'd get them. But we got to go one at a time, one at a time. It's between you and him. When they want Jesus, and they look, I said, you're the one that's got to ask them, not me. I have prayed my prayer just to give them a go. But boy, when they ask when, it'll bring tears to your eyes. When that's the thing about it is, them young men and them young women in those prisons, they have no hope. They've been abused. There's hate and bitterness. But when they get saved, Miss Marlene, you can see the transformation. You see the love coming out of them eyes as them old tears start running down. Boy, it never gets old. It never gets old, folks. It never gets old. But what I'm getting to right here, and I'll be done in just a minute. Y'all just give me a minute. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in the kingdom of heaven. But he that what? Doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many of them will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name done wonderful works. In thy name cast out devils. And what does he say? I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Folks, what that is a great white throne judgment. If you're sitting here lost tonight and you leave out of this world, there's only two places to go, either up or down. Read Luke's gospel. You'll either go to paradise or you'll look up in hell. But that is the great white throne when death and hell's pulled out and they're standing before the Lord. And they'll hear those words, I never knew you. And that's it. You're not going to get to plead your case. You're not going to have to do a thing. You're going to be there on your knees crying your eyes out because you watch people get thrown to the lake of fire right before you. And you know that's where you're headed. But see, Brother Mark, it don't have to be like that. Right now, tonight, they can go on and get in. All you have to do is ask. It's so simple a child can understand it. Jesus said in sin, except you become as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of God. Hey, man, that childlike faith. When you get Jesus, that old heart will move back. I mean, I'm 50. If tonight I was lost and got saved, boy, that old heart turn into the heart of a child, boy. Turn into love. Turn into wanting to win people to Jesus. Tell people about Jesus. Hey, man, I love it when people first get saved, Brother Mark. They just go and tell people what they got. Hey, man, I wish in these church houses, I wish people would get back to when they first got saved, how it was so good. I'm not going to hell. That's right. That's what I done. And I've seen more when they get saved, go tell people I'm not going to hell anymore. What's the problem with telling people, hey, I'm not going to hell? And then they'll say, well, what are you talking about? Witness opportunity. Man. Folks, it's a lost and dying world out there. And if you want to change this nation, you're going to have to start winning people to Christ. I don't meet everybody you meet. You don't meet everybody I meet. But you can't look at me and tell me you don't rub elbows every day as somebody that's lost. You say, well, I might get hurt or something like that. I can tell you on authority of God's word, if the Holy Spirit's nudging you to go tell somebody about Jesus and pointing that person out, you'll know it. And he has already prepared that person to listen. I'll tell this and I'm done. I was in Clinton, North Carolina several years back. And I can't remember if my bike haul, if I'd done got it or was getting ready to go get it. But I walked over to McDonald's down there in Clinton, brother. And I got me something to eat. It was 5:30 in the afternoon on Tuesday afternoon. And I was sitting there eating and I left my Bible in the truck. I walked across the road to the parking lot. I was just going to eat. I wasn't planning on telling somebody about Jesus. And I was eating, and there was a black man about where you're at, brother, sitting there eating. He looked rough. He was bigger than you. He looked mean. He had them long dreadlocks, and most of the time that's a Rastafari. Is that right? Yeah, they don't believe in Jesus, atheists and all that. And, some of them get it and don't know it. But anyway, I looked up at him. And I looked back, and I was eating. Lord's dealing with me, go talk to him about Jesus. I looked that second time, and this is what I said. I said, Lord, I ain't as big as I was 20 years ago. That guy looks mean. And then I looked back down, and I looked back at last time, and the Lord said, that's you. So what does that mean? That was me years ago, lost on my way to hell. Boy, I felt about that big. I ain't got a witness track, but I had one with me. I pulled out a track. He was done getting up to leave. I said, hey, you're about as big as him. Stand up. Stand up. He turned around and looked at me, and you're as big as he was. Put your hand out there. I said, hey. I said, let me give that to you. I don't know how you are with the Lord, but let me give that to you on your own spare time when you're alone. How about reading that? And I turned to walk away out the door. Hey, man. And this is what, hey, stand up. I ain't done with you. He said, God must be trying to tell me something. Say that. I'm walking.
God must be trying to tell me something.
I said, say that again.
God must be trying to tell me something.
I said, you know what? He might be. How are you, young man? 26 years old.
26.
I said, you know what? I see people from infants to 100 years old in that old graveyard. Death's coming for us all. It's the point a man wants to die, and after that, the judgment. By the way, God must be trying to tell you something. I said, you might be getting ready to check out before the sun goes down. How are you with the Lord? Would you be glad to meet him right now? Oh, his eyes started warming up. He said, no, I wouldn't. I said, well, thanks for being honest. Then, they'll start looking around because the devil's going to get in on it. I said, don't worry about them people. They need what you're getting ready to get. And the Lazarus and the rich man was all over me. And it was fresh. I think I'd preached it recently. I just lit out, tell him about Lazarus, tell him about heaven and hell. And he just bowed his head. And he said, I need to be saved. I said, won't you get it done right now? All you got to do is ask. Man got saved. I hope and pray one, and I hadn't seen them since. But what I like about Rock of Ages, folks, we don't win them and quit on them. We go back in and disciple them. We keep going back to these institutions, keep going back. And if they're out and gone and saved, more than likely, if they're going to live it, and I hope they do, they're not going to come back to prison. Amen? But they have a discipleship program, too, that they can sign up for through Rock of Ages to learn the Word of God while they're incarcerated. I've seen videos of people that were in jail and prison come out, and now they're pastors of churches living for the Lord. And I hope and pray. I went across Rose's parking lot and bought that boy a King James Bible, spent about 20 minutes with him. I said, if you'll get into this, God will take care of you. He was homeless too, by the way, I found out. I went over there to John 14. Whew, John 14, I'll be done. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I'd have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where you may be, there ye may be also. Thomas saith to him, Lord, we know not where thou goest, and how can we know the way? The greatest thing in the Word of God. There's no ifs, ands, buts about it. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, sir, and life. No man comes to the Father but by me.
Amen.
You'll go his way, or you'll never see glory, folks.
Right, bro.
That's all I got.
Amen.
Thank you.